Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce Podcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world. And we're archived on awfradio.com. You miss anything, just go to awfradio.com. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars with some breaking news. Dorsey Hager runs the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. And I was just talking off the air. Boy, this is pretty exciting. Dorsey, I'm giving it right to you. Tell us what's going on in Central Ohio right now.
So here in the last 36, 48 hours, a couple of huge announcements have been made. And I'll tell you about the announcements, and then I'll give you a little backstory. But, Columbus is home to two major league franchises. We have the NHL, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and we also have MLS, the Columbus Crew. Columbus Crew is the first MLS team. They were founded in 1996. And the first MLS team in the United States with a soccer-specific stadium, Monterey Stadium. Well, with the passing of Lamar Hunt a few years ago, who was the original owner of the Columbus Crew, and many people know Lamar Hunt and the Hunt family, the owner of the Chiefs, Anthony Precourt bought the Crew. Now, when Anthony Precourt bought the Crew, it wasn't because he loves soccer. It wasn't because he loves Columbus. I don't think he likes either one. His biggest thing was he wanted to take the team, uproot it, move it to Austin, Texas, because Austin is cool, Austin is hip.
Yeah.
That's where he wanted to go. So he's pretty much gotten that his way and gotten that done without any barriers from the MLS. Well, our city attorney, Zach Klein, our attorney general, and now governor-elect Mike DeWine, sued MLS and Anthony Precourt, and your Cleveland listeners will love this. It was pointed out to them by outgoing state rep here in Columbus, Worthington area, Mike Duffy, another Republican, that they should use the Modell rule to keep the Crew here. So I'm not going to speak too much about it because I'm not a lawyer and I did not stay at a Holiday Inn last night, but they basically used the Modell rule. And while it's still going through court, there was a lot of other things that they had to do. They had to find a buyer to keep the Crew here. They had to build a new soccer-specific stadium or have the plans to build a new soccer-specific stadium downtown, yada, yada, yada. So in the last 48 hours, and this all has came very late with communications on Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night, with Mayor Andrew Ginther in the mayor's office. But basically, I got the phone call, to get my guys down to Monterey Stadium Thursday morning because it was going to be an announcement that they would absolutely love. And the announcement was this, was Mayor Andrew Ginther announced that not only were they finalizing plans for a new downtown stadium, which was announced yesterday that we'll talk about, but they're also not just going to mothball or shelve Monterey Stadium, because if they would, it would be the largest eyesore in the city of Columbus, the biggest unused building. So what they're going to do is they're going to renovate that. They're going to have an indoor facility for indoor soccer and stuff where they can have youth tournaments and youth sports. They're going to add outside turf fields, plus they're going to add some buildings and some other facilities where kids can stay and stuff, and it's going to be one of the largest community sports parks in the state of Ohio. So we're looking at about $50 million, and the mayor announced that with his partnership with the Columbus Building Trades and the use of a community benefit agreement that's on Fire Station 35, the negotiation for a community benefit agreement on the Linden Rec Center, which is about a $30 million job, that it's his intention and that he announced that he's going to use a community benefit agreement on this Monterey Stadium for several reasons. You know, he wants a local workforce, he wants a skilled trained workforce, he wants the job done on time, under budget, and done safely. And also, with our partnership with he and the city and our ongoing goal to rebuild the neighborhoods and give that next generation of workers the opportunity to get on that direct path to middle class, we want to continue the diversification of the building trades here in Columbus, Central Ohio. So it was a huge announcement on Wednesday. And then yesterday, attorney Zach Klein, Alex Fisher from CEO, who has been hugely instrumental in all this, announced plans for a downtown stadium in the Arena District next to Huntington Park. It's going to be a huge redevelopment area called Confluence Park, where it's going to have mixed-use residential, restaurants, apartments, condos, and a soccer-specific stadium. Right now, with a budget of $230 million, it's going to have 18 suites, 20,000 seats. All seats will be undercover, but it'll still be an open-air stadium where the playing field will be exposed to the elements, kind of like the old Cowboy Stadium was, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of huge announcements, and I tell you, I know, like you said, you know, we talk about the Browns sometime on your station, you know, Cleveland sports and stuff. I saw an article yesterday in the paper, and I can't remember which one it was, but basically how this all happened and what started the ball rolling was Dee Haslam was watching the network and saw how a team was going to be leaving Columbus, and it just really affected her. Maybe it was because of the Browns leaving Cleveland the way that they did 20-some years ago. But she talked to her husband, and they came to Columbus, and they started meeting with Alex Fisher. Of course, Alex has a long relationship with Jimmy Haslam and his brother from their Tennessee roots. But Dr. Pete Edwards, who's been the team doctor of the crew since day one and is a not only a huge soccer fan but is a very knowledgeable soccer person, they kind of got together and teamed up and figured it out. And you're going to have one of the largest public-private partnerships anywhere in the country. And when all this is said and done, it could be about $800 million worth of investment and construction dollars over the next 5 to 10 years for the local building trades workforce here in Columbus, Central Ohio. Plus, looks like they're going to save the crew. So they're on a deadline. Today's, what, December 7th, so we've got about 23, 24 days when everything has to be finalized and approved by MLS. But everything's looking good. I think they're about 85% there. So.
Jeez, wow. So this all has to be done by the end of this year then?
Yes.
And you're pretty you're pretty confident that that will happen.
Very confident. I think it's going to happen. I think there's a lot of things that are involved, both politically and legally, that the MLS, you know, even though their commissioner has made some comments that have been supportive of Austin and not supportive of Columbus, I think he does not want to see the original franchise of MLS to be uprooted, especially with the huge fan base that's here in Columbus. And last night at city council hearing to discuss this redevelopment plan where Alex Fisher spoke and Dr. Edwards spoke and several others, Ken Wilson, the county administrator, Steve Shoney, director of development for the city of Columbus, who they've all been instrumental to. Like I said, it's been a county-city partnership and a public-private partnership with the Haslams and the Edwards family. But very, very confident. I think it's going to happen. But they all talked last night how this all started with this huge inswell of fan support and signatures and donations and everything, and just really put it on the top of the sports page and got the information out there and rallied the people and the passion of the fans, you know, not wanting to see this happen. And like I said, I mean, you know, not to bring up a bad situation, but I remember how devastated I was when the Browns left Cleveland, and that was not a one-time thing. It's happening everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, the Chargers just lost their team to Los Angeles. You know, the Rams have bounced back and forth between LA and St. Louis. You know, Seattle lost their team to Oklahoma City. So it's still happening every day. And I don't know who it was, and maybe we'll have to do some research off air, who came up with that Modell law. but if that thing works, then wow, you know,
that's
a negative,
exactly.
Turn it into a positive.
Okay, let me throw this at you. You know, over the past couple of months, you and I have had conversation on the boom, the economic boom down there in Central Ohio, and how everybody is maxed out. You just said that we're talking $800 million over the next 5 to 10 years. That's great. That's wonderful news. Are we able to handle that, though? Because especially with the trades. I mean, the trades are in major demand right now. I'm thinking we're going to have to go and grab these kids and get them in these apprenticeship programs like yesterday, you know?
We have to, and that's the thing. Everybody wants something done immediate, and we have to address the immediate need. And you and I have talked about this. Construction is cyclical. It's up and down. We don't know what 5 years is going to look like. We don't know what 10 years is going to look like. But some of the ideas and some of the plans I've discussed with my e-board and my managers, my agents, we're going to start putting these to work along with our training directors is twofold. Is one, we have our Building Futures program where we're going into the inner cities, we're going out into the county, and we're getting these kids that want these career opportunities to a direct path to the middle class, which I've got a great success story I'll tell you here in a second. But the second thing that we've got to do, that we've partnered with City Council President Shannon Harden, his Chief of Staff Mike Brown, and Park and Recs Director Tony Collins, is we're going to be working through the City Council, the City of Columbus, and Park and Recs, and we're going to do 3 pilot programs next year. And this is what our hopes are. We're going to do 2 weeks of 8th graders going into their freshman year, two 1 week classes of 25 kids. These are kids that are going to have an interest in the building trades. We're going to bring them in for a week. We're going to go over just some basics, how to read a tape measure, construction math. We're going to let them swing a hammer. We're going to let them bend them some conduit. We're going to let them strike an arc. We're going to let them ride a lift and maybe do some stuff on some operating equipment. Then at the end of that week, when they get their graduation certificate or whatever we do, then we're going to talk to them about the classes they should be taking in high school. So that way, as soon as they get out of high school, they can walk right into our apprenticeship programs. And I think that's huge to exposing kids that are getting ready to go into high school that maybe don't know what they want to do. The second part of this is going to be this. We're going to take 25 juniors that are going to be seniors, again, that are interested in a building trades program. We're going to put them in this 1 week boot camp, I guess you call it, pilot program. We're going to do the same thing with them that we do with the eighth graders. Then at the end of that, we're going to say, how many of you are interested after graduation next year of to the building trades as an apprentice? And the ones that are interested, in March of their senior year, we're going to do a building futures pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship readiness program with them. While they're at the end of their senior year in high school, we're going to put them in the evenings in this pre-apprenticeship program, 12 weeks. So at the end of the 12 weeks, it'll coincide with them graduating from high school. So our hope is that they walk across that stage, they get their high school degree, they get their building futures certificate of completion, and then they walk right in to the apprenticeship program of their choice and go right out on one of our job sites in Columbus or Central Ohio. That's the way we're looking at rebuilding this workforce.
There you go. You have to. You have to, especially with all the work coming down there. Dorsey, I got to take a quick break. This is certainly great news, and the future looks so robust in Central Ohio. We have to take a quick break. Also coming up later in the broadcast, Tim Murphy is going to be joining us on behalf of Mother Jones Magazine. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Part union newsletter, part industry trade magazine. The Labor Citizen provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter to the hard-working members of Ohio's labor trades. Building trades unions that subscribe to the Labor Citizen guarantee their members receive a monthly report crafted by their own union leaders, along with interesting feature stories and news relevant to Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to active and retired members from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the news and issues important to Ohio's labor trades anywhere. And the only way you can have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trade union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
For over 20 years, Organized Labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for its communications and events needs because the BMA Media Group knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to market union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit www.bmamedia.com.
For a quarter of a century, America's workforce has helped empower the union movement. I'm Terry O'Sullivan, General President of LIUNA, the Labor's International Union of North America. From the strong, proud, and united brothers and sisters of LIUNA, we wish you congratulations on your 25th anniversary.
Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world. And don't forget, we archive everything on awfradio.com. This segment of the show brought to you by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment, 216-666-2185 or ulagency.org. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. All right, talk to me about this guy, John Becker, and his cohort, Matt Hoffman. Once again, we're bringing up that right to work, an attack on prevailing wage. But these guys just never give up. What's the latest on this scenario?
So we're in lame duck right now, and I think we're going to come out unscathed, but it happens all the time. And I said this to one of my managers and agents yesterday. You know, we just talked on the segment about all this work coming up. We talked about all this development. We talked about all these companies coming here. And you have these elected leaders like John Becker and Matt Huffman that are looking to make Ohio a right-to-work state and also to do away with prevailing wage. And it's coming at a time when we need to be making building trades jobs and construction, however you want to say it. We need to make those appealing. We need to make them sexy. We need to make them, you know, and these guys are trying to make it, you know, where it's low paid, low skilled, and it could have long lasting effects on our economy. So I told one of our managers and agents the other day, I'm getting sick of running down to the State House every other day to sit in a hearing to listen to one of these guys bash, you know, workers here in Ohio. It's crazy. So John Becker's introduced a bill in the State House, public sector right to work. You know, he said that next on his agenda is private sector right to work. And then after that, he wants to look at abolishing prevailing wage. He wants to do away with prevailing wage. Now, Matt Huffman, he's a senator from the Lima area. He's looking at making prevailing wage optional, which means if you're a county commissioner in Madison County or Union County or Cuyahoga County, and there's a project that comes up that falls under the threshold of prevailing wage, you could choose to make it optional and not pay prevailing wage. Now, why you would want to do that or why you would want to pass such legislation is crazy. And like I said, we were just talking about the crew. We were just talking about, you know, we've talked in weeks past about all the businesses that are expanding here in Ohio and that are coming to Ohio, the need for skilled construction workers and the need to get that next generation interested, you know, in building trades programs. You know, we don't want to delegitimize the construction industry or lower it or make it less attractive. We want to make it more attractive. And these guys are looking to make it less attractive, which is not good. Yeah. Not a good thing. So these bills right now are in committee. I don't expect either one of them to get out of committee. The problem is they're laying the groundwork. They're continuing to lay the groundwork. They're getting the Ron Hoods. They're getting the Christina Regners. They're getting the Bill Deans to come on board and, you know, trying to drum up support for these. And, you know, at a time while Ohio is prosperous, we still have a lot of problems with education. We have problems with poverty. We have problems with health care. We have problems with Medicaid expansion. All these other things that they could be working on to help working people of Ohio, and they're introducing and working on legislation like this, it just makes you shake your head, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, up until this time, and hopefully it'll stay that way, they've been in the minority on this. We've have enough common sense lawmakers. What I want to ask you here, what about DeWine? Now, remember, DeWine was kind of lukewarm about right to work, kind of saying, oh, well, maybe it should go on the ballot, let the people decide. And then he said during the campaign that he was against right to work. What's your feelings? Do you trust him moving forward?
You know, I don't know yet. And I think that trust is earned. And I think that that's something he's going to have to exhibit as he walks into the governor's office and makes it his own. You know, I know right now there's a lot of articles, a lot of stories. You're probably seeing them in the Plain Dealer, too, that are coming out of this batch. He's putting together his transition team. He's starting to hire directors. He's starting to put people in place. You know, our hopes is that some of our friends that are maybe term limited or are leaving the House or are leaving the Senate that are looking for employment in the DeWine administration or even the Houston administration, that hopefully that they, you know, they get some of those positions, some of those jobs, and they're in areas where they can influence, you know, policy, and we have those inroads that we can make with them. You know, I've got a good relationship with the governor-elect. I've had dinner with him several times. He's came to some of our outings before. I anticipate he'll be at our holiday lunch next Tuesday, along with Attorney General-elect Dave Yost, who's a good friend of ours, lives here in Columbus in Central Ohio. So hopefully, you know, we can continue having those conversations with them. They know that Ohio is on the right track. You know, the economy's booming. People are moving here. Columbus and Central Ohio is growing. You just don't want to do anything to muck it up now. You want to keep the train going. You know what I mean? And I think right to work could do that. And I think that he's seen what's happened and Missouri as well, and how the people came out against it. So hopefully he would, he would see that. Hopefully he would see that. So time will tell. Time will tell. We've got a lot ahead of us. Like I said, I think we have a good relationship with the governor-elect. We need to work on relationships and improve relationships with his lieutenant governor, John Husted, and just keep moving forward. You know what I mean? But we've talked about this before on your show. The building trades model is the perfect business model. And whether it's a liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat, when you tell that story about no tax dollars, tuition free, paid training, not only for apprentices, but also journeymen and women upgrade mm-hmm. to keep their skills up to date, with the technology that's ever changing. And, our health care is all paid for by ourselves. Our pensions all paid for by ourselves. No tax dollars, no bailouts. They love that. They love that. So we just got to keep telling that story.
Keep on going, my friend. Yeah, it's unfortunate that these people keep rearing their ugly heads, but this is what you got to deal with. That's the reality of it. Okay, just a couple minutes left here. I'd like to get your thoughts on, and I'll tell you, Dwayne's got his hands full here because we have just the announcement a couple weeks ago about Lordstown, the fact that that plant right now does not have an occupant come March of 2019. They're going to phase out the Chevy Cruze here. And this has sent reverberations, not just here in Ohio, but around the country. I mean, this is devastating. What's the building trades point of view on this?
from a building trade standpoint, a couple issues. From a building trade standpoint, it's horrible when some of these plants or some of these places close because of the devastating effects that it has on these local communities. I can imagine when these people lose their jobs and their careers, how that's going to adversely affect not only Lordstown, but the Mahoning Valley. Because I'm sure there's several people throughout the valley that work there in Lordstown. And, it's horrible. The big effect that it also has on the building trades is that a lot of these places that are uprooting and leaving, a lot of our members go in there and they work and they maintain these facilities, We were talking about work and upcoming projects. I was with Mike Knisley at lunch yesterday, and we were talking about not only the projects that are going on at Honda of America right now, but all the upcoming projects. And the tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of man hours that are going to be worked by building trades members next year and many years in the future at projects that are ongoing or have been announced at Honda. So, when a Lordstown closes, when something like that happens, not only does it affect the workers there, but it affects the building trades people and the building trades locals in those areas too, because that's one less facility that we have to maintain. It's one less facility that we have to help build, and grow. So it's terrible. And I tell you what, any of your listeners get the chance, and I love this guy to death. I think he's doing a great job, but you can see the emotion and the sense of caring in his voice and in his speech. But if you get a chance, follow Tim Ryan on Twitter, on Facebook. Check out, his interview on CNN, but also check out his floor speech on the House of Representatives last week. And he's absolutely right. I know him and Sherrod are having meetings. I know that they told the president as early as this summer how his tariffs could adversely affect auto manufacturing here in this country, how what GM was doing at Lordstown by cutting back shifts, increasing production at plants in Mexico right after they got a tax bailout. And Congressman Ryan and Senator Brown are absolutely right, and I hope the president and many others step in and try to figure this out, because we cannot continue to keep losing manufacturing jobs, good-paying manufacturing jobs, from this country to elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah, we're talking 1,600 jobs in Lordstown alone, and then almost 15,000 when you add up all the five plants that they plan to shut down. Sad story, very sad story. All right, my brother, Dorsey Hager runs the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Great job. Great news out of Columbus. We're talking, if you're tuning in right now, we're talking the possibility, and we'll get more on this in the next segment, which will be in the new year, $800 million of investments, total investments, because of soccer. Because of soccer. Dorsey, I could soccer is huge in the world. It's not that big in the United States of America, but you know what? With Columbus on the map here, I think we're on our way,
It is. It's not only huge in the world, but it's amazing how huge it is with young people. Young people love soccer. They love the crew. There's a lot of young professionals that go to those crew games, drink in those bars, eat in those restaurants, buy the crew hats, scarves, and jackets, and jerseys. And it's just an amazing what an economic tool it is here for Columbus and Central Ohio, and truly keeps Columbus on the map as a major league city.
Well, you take care, my friend. We'll talk in the new year, all right? Happy holiday to you.
Happy holidays to you, too. We'll talk, yep, like you said, after the new year, and happy holidays. Thanks so much for having me again.
You got it. Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. All right, quick break. When we come back, Tim Murphy of Mother Jones Magazine talking about that sensation, Beta O'Rourke. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.